Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano.
Down the sideline, 20 to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown Tampa Bay, fire the cannons, Bucs lead.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now, Coach Schiano and your host, TJ Reeves.
And welcome in on this Monday night as we get ready to talk about what went on yesterday and look ahead to the future for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Bucs suffer a fourth consecutive defeat to start this 2013 season. A frustrating end to a game that began well for Tampa Bay on Sunday, but unfortunately did not end well in the end. The Arizona Cardinals come up with 10 points in the final 3 minutes of the game to win 13-10 over the Bucs and sneak out of Raymond James Stadium with their second victory of the season. So let's take a look at what went on Sunday, the Bucs' second home game of the year, and obviously the biggest story, Mike Glennon being the new starting quarterback, rookie out of NC State, replacing Josh Freeman for his first NFL start for this fourth game of the season. And early on in the football game, it was the Buccaneer defense that was able to get Glennon and company great field position. In fact, the first play of the game for the Arizona Cardinals, they were looking to pass, and the Buccaneer pass rush had other ideas.
First snap of the game. One running back set, three receivers left, and Palmer drops to the under pressure. He is sacked by Gerald McCoy. Nobody picked up 93, and if I'm an offensive coordinator, I can move by the blocker's nail easily.
And Mean Gene Deckerhoff on all these calls here was absolutely right. Unblocked is the best thing to be if you're a pass rusher there in that situation, and McCoy comes up with a sack right off the bat. Now, later on in the first quarter, the Cardinals trying to move the football when the first of their turnovers would begin on this Sunday, this time on a handoff.
Second down, handoff on a stretch, lead handoff to Mendenhall. He is nipped. Fumble. This is fumbled. This one's fumbled. Bucs come up with it. Tampa Bay football. It's Gerald McCoy with the football. Two big splash plays by number 93 of the first quarter. He came ahead and started running with it. Turnover number one of the game. Bucs force a fumble.
And they get the short field after Mendenhall ran into Larry Fitzgerald, actually, and dropped the ball. McCoy, Johnny on the spot, and that would set up the first scoring opportunity for Tampa Bay. They would move into scoring position on a Doug Martin run, a couple of them that got them inside the 10, and then on third and goal, here's what happened next.
Third down and three. Bucs can get a first down. Here's the snap. Glennon shotgun throws a hard slack. Caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Mike Glennon's thrown a touchdown pass on his second series as a starting quarterback of the National Football League. He hits Mike Williams with a bullet at the goal line. Fire the cannons. Bucs lead 6-0.
Glennon's first NFL touchdown is Mike Williams' 25th career Buccaneer receiving touchdown, moving him into fifth position by his lonesome on the all-time list, and the Bucs out to a 7-0 advantage. And the defense would really make that lead hold up, obviously, throughout the first half as they shut the Cardinals down. And then eventually at the end of the first half, Buccaneers would go on a scoring drive and an interesting march that began at their own 10-yard line, a 13-play, 61-yard drive that eventually culminated with a Ryan Lindell 50-yard field goal. And as I mentioned, a 10-0 lead at that stage of the football game. We then go to the second half of the game. Bucs not able to move the ball on their opening possession with that 10-0 lead. Cardinals finally got something going in the third quarter. In fact, drove down inside the Buccaneer 20-yard line. But that's when the rookie defensive back out of Mississippi State, Jonathan Banks, would make an incredible play to stop Arizona from getting points.
Shotgun formation, empty backfield. Carson Palmer's got on and winged off to the left side, looking that way, still looking that way. Throws that way. It is. Oh, intercepted in the end zone. What a remarkable pick, picked off by Jonathan Banks. What a remarkable athletic grab, caught it out of the sky with one hand. And the Bucs thwart a good-looking Cardinal drive.
Second turnover of the day, and as Gene was calling it, it doesn't get any better than that leaping one-handed interception as Palmer was looking for Michael Floyd in the corner of the end zone, and Banks would come up with his first career INT as a rookie. Again, Arizona gets the ball back. They're down 10-0. They're trying to get points again, and this time Carson Palmer was looking to pick on Revis Island. And here's what happened next.
Mendenhall, the running back, the lone setback. Palmer drops the throw. We run a stunt. The pass has gotten away, and it's Aspelikoff intercepted at the 20-yard line. A remarkable round to Darrell Revis. His first pick as a Buccaneer. And he ambushes a Carson Palmer pass. We had pressure on the quarterback. He got happy feet and threw an errant throw.
And so that interception, the first one as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer for Darrell Revis, stopping that drive and again maintaining the shutout at that point of the game as the Buccaneers come up with a third turnover. And again, a great job by Revis to jump right in front of Larry Fitzgerald and come up with that football. Unfortunately, it is a 60-minute game, and the Cardinals hung in. They eventually turned a fumbled exchange between Mike Glennon and Doug Martin into a field goal. It's a 10-3 game at this point, and with about 3 minutes to go, the Buccaneers ball in their own end, deep in their own territory, and unfortunately for Mike Glennon, a pass he would like to have back.
Second down, 6 from the 11-yard line. Clock ticking, 3:24 to go. Fourth quarter, they threaten the blitz. Here comes up the middle. Play action fake sold by Glennon. Stands tall. Throws a pass. It is picked off. Intercepted to the 20-yard line. It's Peterson. Patrick Peterson to the 15. Spun around and dropped to the 13-yard line. My goodness. Dropping back to throw on second down and 6. And Patrick Peterson, 10 career interceptions. He had 7 a year ago.
And again, the former number one pick at Arizona makes the large play there. And it did not take the Cardinals long to be able to turn that interception into tying points.
Here's the snap. Palmer dropping to throw, throwing to the end zone. That's caught. Touchdown, Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald. And just like that, a point away from the tie ball game.
So as Gene was calling it there, it only took the one play, and now the game is 10-10. And then the Buccaneers, not able to do anything on the next possession, end up going 3 and out and punt the ball away. And that led Arizona with a short field to be able to move in position. And eventually Jay Feely, a Tampa native Jesuit high school guy from right up the street from Raymond James Stadium where he went to high school, kicked the 27-yard go-ahead field goal for the 13-10 lead. Now, the Buccaneers at that point were out of timeouts, but unfortunately were not able to move into field goal range. And Mike Glennon's second interception of the day would seal the game. Final score again, Arizona 13 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10 to end things on Sunday there at Raymond James Stadium. And with that, we say hello and welcome in the head coach, Greg Schiano, here with us as we went through those highlights there. And as I was saying, it was a game in which you were able to get some turnovers and had the lead, but unfortunately not able to finish. With the luxury now of having to look at the tape for the last 24 hours, let's talk about the end of the game in particular and not being able to finish it off. Tell me what stood out, a couple of things in particular that stood out at the end.
Well, you know, you turn the ball over. We have a lead and we turn it over on a simple handoff at midfield. That's it's very tough. Again, you know, you're playing well enough to win up until that point. Our goals, our keys to victory, at that point we're winning all those three battles that we're talking about, you know, protecting the football and taking it away. We're not running it great, but we're running it better than they are at that point. And then the final one is getting after the quarterback. And up until that point, you know, we'd put ample pressure on Carson Palmer, and that's why he threw us the ball. But, finishing it off or learning how to win, all that coach speak, I think it comes down to being able to execute in the clutch. And to me, that's being able to rely on your training and trust your training and going out and doing it in the clutch. And I think one of the things that we have to do is the bigger the situation, the more crucial the situation, the more we have to trust our training and do what we're trained to do and that we do on the practice field each and every day. And, sometimes we leave the training, try to do something extra special, and that's usually what gets you in trouble. And, again, the end of the football game, you talked about those, the two turnovers at the end of the game. I thought the fumble, crucial, but then the two interceptions. The one interception, retrospectively, the problem is we didn't feel like we were running the ball real well. You know, it wasn't like where we could do it on demand. And for whatever reason, right, you got to give credit to the opponent. They're a good run defense, and they got the better of us in the rush game. But I think as importantly, we drop back, and as Mike said, just wish, he threw it just a little bit further inside because Vincent's got the guy beat. He's got leverage on him, and there's no hole player there, so it's going to be a completion. But at the end of the day, it wasn't. A great player took advantage of a situation and made a play. So, again, we have an opportunity to stop him there. Although it's on a shrunken field, you do have an opportunity. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. And then, we get one more crack at it, and we get a few plays going. But then we throw an interception there at the end that seals our fate.
With a minute and a half left, I mean, this is one of the things that maybe got lost in the whole end sequence of the game, and only needing a field goal, you've got time to run a lot of plays and run your offense in some ways, even though you don't have timeouts. But there was a lot of time remaining there to try to make something happen, yes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, without any timeouts, it's going to go. That time's going to go quickly. But sure, there's plenty of time. You just need to get, you know, 35-yard line-ish. You know, it's still going to be a big kick from there, but, you know, we're looking to get inside the 35. We can get considerably in there. It makes the odds of that kick going up. But, you know, you'd love to score a touchdown, but you're looking to, you know, kick a field goal and take this thing to overtime. But, again, it goes back to me, you know, we're the game's solidly in control. We're doing everything right, and then all of a sudden we hit a patch and kind of go haywire. And you can't do that. We can't do that. We're too good a football team to do that, and we got to get that straightened out.
All right, we will take your phone calls coming up. Here's how you join us, 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. And we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It is brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Selection and value guaranteed.
Back on this Monday evening as the Buccaneers now head into the bye week. We're also here in this segment taking your phone calls. We're talking about yesterday's game and looking ahead to what will be the next matchup in 13 days with the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll be the next opponent at Raymond James Stadium. And Coach, let's go over a couple of different things. Defensively, for this football team, you got off to a great start. First play of the game is a sack. You later on get a fumble. You have a couple of interceptions in the third quarter, one of them a spectacular play by rookie Jonathan Banks. Another one, your veteran receiver, Darrell Revis, with an interception. Just say a couple of words, if you would, about the way that the defense played in this football game on Sunday.
Well, I thought defensively we played at a high level for most of the game. You mentioned it, some spectacular plays in the secondary. I thought, you know, we got after the quarterback. We only had one sack, but we hit him. We pressured him. We had hands in his face, things that give him trouble. There was one series of deep dig routes that got us a few times in a row. We made some adjustments, took that away.
Explain a deep dig for the football novice.
That deep in route that was behind the linebackers. And unfortunately, it was in some second and long situations that I was disappointed in us, me, our coaches, our players, that we didn't do a better job on those. But we were able to overcome it and make some plays and intercept the pass. And so, you know, it boils down at the end of the game. You know, we have to bow our necks one more time, and we just weren't quite able to do it. And they were able to score a touchdown. And, you know, again, we did a good job of kind of affecting the quarterback, which was the biggest thing going into the football game. We missed more tackles than we've missed in a little bit, and we need to get that shored up. They didn't rush for a lot of yards, but still we missed some tackles, and you know, that's not who we are, so we have to get that fixed. But overall, I thought a good performance, guys making plays, guys doing their job. I thought it was probably the most efficient we were defensively since we've been here, and actually executing our jobs to a man. You know, I've talked about it often. It's a team defense we play. It's relying on each other, doing their jobs. And, you know, it's never going to be perfect, but it was much, much better than we've been. And we just need to keep improving and understanding what we're doing and have a chance to have a really good defense.
Back to the Banks play specifically, not just for the play itself, but the fact, the magnitude of it. They're looking for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone, and it's a leaping one-handed grab in that corner of the end zone at that juncture of the game to still keep it a shutout. You've had time now to watch that on the coach's tape. Just tell us more about the young man there and the play that he makes.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's a critical time in the game. That's a 16-play drive, I believe. And that was a long drive, and the guys kept battling because, if you can remember, there were some key plays that you thought the drive was over, and all of a sudden they you know, they get another chance. And a lot of times defenses, as it gets over that 10 to 12 play, they just gassed and they can't make the play. But what a great play by Jonathan. He leaps high in the air and one-hand interception. You know, a good call and a really good execution.
All right, again, we're going to take your phone calls here for the coach. You do so in Hillsborough at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We begin with Aaron in St. Pete. You are up first here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, Aaron. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm really, really frustrated because to me it's like we have all this talent that, you know, the Glazers brought for us, and it's like, to me it's like all the concepts we run on offense, we run on defense, to me look like we're playing college football. And to me it's just, I'm seriously, like, to me I just don't understand why. And I know you said last week that Darrell Revis is not playing zone, he's playing man, but I know what a zone looks like. Darrell Revis is playing a zone. There's no reason why Darrell Revis needs to be playing zone coverage. That's the reason why we went out and got him. That's the reason why he's getting paid $16 million a year. He needs to be playing man. First of all, to play zone, you have to have a pass rush. We have no pass rush on this team. We don't have Warren Sapp. We don't have Simeon Rice. A pass rush works when you have great players. We only have one great player up front, and that's Gerald McCoy. Everybody else is just kind of like whatever. So there's no reason why we should be playing a zone coverage. We need to be playing man because we do not have the pass rush to be playing zone. And to be honest with you, Greg, like I said, I think you're a great football coach, but to be honest with you, I seriously think you need to go back to college because I just don't think you deserve to be head of this franchise because it's like with Raheem Morris had no talent on his team. And, you know, obviously he lost all these games and he got fired. But you have all this talent and it's like, I see no improvement. So my whole thing is like this. I personally think you need to swallow your pride and you need to let your coaches coach and stop being such a micromanager. Because I understand you want to control everything. That's who you are. But you need to kind of take a step back. Because to be honest with you, Greg, if you continue to be like that, you're going to be out of here because the NFL is not for long. And, you know, like I said, I think you're a good football coach. I believe that you're the right man for this job, but my whole thing is, like, if you continue to be this way with this team, you're going to lose your team, which I already think you have, at least parts of your team, but you're not going to be here that long. And like I said, I hate to see that happen to you because I think you're a good football coach, but I'm just really getting tired of you lying to the fans and saying that Darrell Revis is not playing zone coverage. He is playing zone coverage, and you need to let Darrell Revis do what he do, and you need to let your players make plays because that's what they do in the NFL. This is not college when you have some 17-year-old, 18-year-olds that don't know. Neither are grown men.
Aaron, I think I got your point, buddy. You've made a good – you know, you've pretty much established what you're trying to say. And again, the reason I love doing, you know, this show is I do hear our fans and I want to know how they feel and their frustrations. Let me just set the record straight, though, because I'll let you vent – but because no one's more frustrated than I am, let me share that with you. But I'm not going to let you be incorrect either. And so I'll put facts to the feelings, which is always a good thing to do when things are going badly. Now let me first tell you this: that we're going to win big here in Tampa. We have good players and good coaches. We hit a rough patch, but you're talking about three games that are very, very close. I know we have to win them. That's why we're here. But we will win those games. It'll balance out and it'll come back our way. You made some big statements there, and I understand they mostly come from frustration. But to call someone a liar is a big statement. You don't want to do that, Aaron. The fact of the matter is, most of the time, Darrell Revis is playing man-to-man. Whether the rest of the coverage is zone, Darrell Revis is responsible for one man. If you saw Sunday, he was following Larry Fitzgerald all over the field. You know, defensively, whatever you want to call it, you know, right now the defense is performing at a high level. Top 15 in every category, but really top 10 in most categories. Now, you can only compare yourself to the other 32 teams in the league, and that's who we're comparing ourselves to. So right now the defense is performing very well. Is it the best in everything? Not yet. We will be soon, but we're not yet quite there. But we're using Darrell Revis exactly how we plan to use him. And you got to remember, too, he's coming back off this injury. This is the fourth game he's played. And each game you can see him getting better and better. You know, he made that key interception on Sunday. He's playing very well. And we're going to continue to utilize them that way. You know, there's some things you mentioned there, losing the team. That's the furthest thing from the truth. This team is unified and is ready to go. And we're going to get better in this bye week, and we're going to come out and play winning football. And so, you know, offensively, we have a system that is, you know, Mike Sullivan came from the New York Giants, where he was for a long time. And that's the basis of our system. It's been adapted. But we have a great offensive staff who puts together the plans. And without a shadow of a doubt, I am aware of everything we're doing. And if I think that something isn't going to work, I'll say, you know what, I'd rather not do that. But really, overall, they have quite a bit of autonomy. Defensively, I am probably more involved. But again, Bill Sheridan runs that show. He calls the game. He puts the game plan together. Again, I am involved in every part of it. And if I disagree, we'll discuss it and then come up with a decision. And same thing in the kicking game with Dave Wanstead. Dave Wanstead and Phil Galliano and the rest of the guys who help on special teams, they will come up with a plan. I review it. And that's the job of any head coach, any manager, anyone who's in a position of authority is you inspect what you expect. And you let people do their job, but you step in when you feel like, you know, maybe we're off track or maybe we need to do a little something differently. So I understand your frustration. I truly do. But just want to make sure that, you know, the rest of our fans understand exactly what's going on over here. We certainly have hit a rough spot. There's no doubt about it. We're being tested as a football team. But it's not a test that we can't meet. And we will. And this group of players and coaches, you know, we'll win our games. And we're going to have a lot of great things to look forward to moving ahead.
One more thing on the pass rush, on him to force bad throws, to force interceptions. I mean, if you're going to be critical of something on the defense, I mean, there's not facts that back that up, and there's not plays that back that up, because there are plays to the contrary that show that the pass rush is having an effect through four games of the season.
Well, you're right, TJ. I mean, they were 1-for-10 on third down yesterday, you know, and right now we sit at 13 sacks after four ball games. So I don't think there's a fan out there that's, you know, if I told him, hey, at the beginning of the year, look, we'll have 13 sacks after four games. By the bye, we'll have 13 sacks. What do you think? Not one of us wouldn't have signed up for it. I know that. So I just think frustrated. I understand Aaron's position. I understand the frustration. You know, these close football games that are in our grasp and we lose them. But it isn't from a lack of caring, trying. We'll get them. It'll turn our way. You just got to stick to it. When you know what you're doing is right, you stick to it, you adapt, you tweak it. But these guys will get it done.
All right, back to the phones. Anthony has been waiting in Tampa. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access.
How you doing, Coach?
Doing well, Anthony. How are you?
Okay. Listen, I got faith in you, man. I just get so tired of people, you know, we should get rid of Shiano, we shouldn't be here. It just irritates me, man, because, you know, they're not giving you a chance. I mean, you got a rookie quarterback that's coming in. He's trying his best, and your defense is lights out. I don't know what that cat's talking about. When they were putting pressure all day, like you said, 1-for-10 on third downs. Come on, that's crazy. I don't know what he was saying.
Well, I appreciate it, Anthony. You know, I understand fans get frustrated, and I get frustrated. But my job is to, you know, I could get frustrated and rant and rave and complain. But that's not going to fix anything. We need to find ways. Right now, we're struggling on offense. But you look back, and we weren't. You know, a while back last year, in the middle of the year, we were playing good offense. So it's not where we're not capable. We'll find our rhythm, our range, and we'll get back to doing that. And you know, my job as the head coach is try to get all three phases playing at a high level, and that's when you win football games. When you're playing at a high level in all three phases, and you're playing complementary football, and we just haven't really done that yet. You know, maybe we have for a little stretch, but not with any consistency. And that's where we need to get to it. And we will, you know, we will do that. It's just it hasn't happened yet.
You mentioned the success that you had in the middle of last season. And I realize every year is different. The playbook will be tweaked. Things will be different. But is it fair to say that you're running a lot of the same stuff or similar stuff that you ran a year ago in the middle of the season? And it's a matter of, you know, sometimes you tip your hat to the defense. Sometimes you didn't execute as well as you did during that stretch last year. But it can't be that it's all totally different plays and different things than what you were running a year ago, right?
No, but you do tweak it. Football is an ever-evolving and changing game, and that's the fun as a coach. You know, never can you stay the same, because it's going to pass you by. So you're constantly evolving, and you hope that you're evolving in the right direction. That's what they pay you to do, right? So, and, you know, this is a great week right now. Last year we struggled early on. We had a bye week where, you know, offensively I'm talking about, we struggled early on. We had a bye week where we were able to regroup and kind of look at what we've done, where can we be better. And I think also, you know, with the change at quarterback, now we have a game film on Mike Glennon, and we can look at it and say, okay, what, you know, we'll get to know him better. What is he really like? What is he comfortable with? What are some of the things maybe we put on the back burner for a couple weeks until he gets more comfortable with them? You know, we have Jeff Demps, who did a little bit. You know, he didn't do a ton, but he did a little bit. But, man, you really like what you see. You know, on that little sweep, he gains 14 yards. On that little diagonal route, he gains 9 yards. And, you know, it's not where people didn't have angles on him. He just ran away from him. He's a gifted, gifted guy. So, you know, you find more ways to get him involved, you know, and you build on his package so he can get the football. I think there's some things that, you know, we're looking at moving forward that I think are going to help our football team. But you need some time to do that, right? Players, they need a little bit of a rest. They've worked hard. You know, everybody said that our bye was at an early point in the season. I kind of like where our bye is, because when you look at training camp and preseason and the first, it really is dead the middle of the regular season. And you get a break dead the middle. And I say the regular season, I mean from training camp till the end of the regular season. It's dead the middle. You get a little break, get on a run here, go for 12 straight, and then hopefully we got some more after that.
All right, we will have more. Hang on there if you're on the phones. We will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed.
Continue on this Monday as the Buccaneers have entered the bye week. Philadelphia will be the next opponent that'll be coming up. 13 days from now, as the Eagles will come into Raymond James Stadium for a 1 o'clock game. And, Coach, before we get back to the phones, Mark Barron left the game yesterday with a hamstring injury, was unable to return. So, in some ways, it's fortuitous that there is not a game this week. What, if anything, can you tell us about that situation?
Well, we're going to have to wait and see, TJ. You know, it's too early to tell. He had a bit of a hamstring, and he aggravated it in the game again. So, we'll see.
He obviously has been off to a great start and playing at a high level. We talked about that last week on the show and even in the pregame show about the way that this young man has played and has been coming into his own, obviously.
Well, he has played very well. In the first 3 weeks, he performed at a high level. And, you know, he's an important part of our defense, both at the safety position and then when we move him down in sub packages, when he moves down to that what we call the dollar or the, you know, in the dime package. And, Mark is a really talented guy who I think better understands exactly what we're doing this year than he did at any time last year, and I think he's just growing in the defense. So we certainly need to get him back healthy, and that's our plan this week with the bye.
All right, back to the phones. Here is Chris in St. Pete. Chris, you are next here with head coach Greg Schiano on Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing all right. A little disappointed, you know, but – I got to give you some props, Coach. You turn that defense around. I mean, the defense has been lights out. I don't know what that guy's talking about, but I'll tell you what, I'm ecstatic with the way this defense has been playing lately. I got to give you props on the way that you handled the Josh Freeman thing. I think you did that with class. You know, you didn't throw anybody under the bus, and you know, took care of that situation internally. My main question for you is with Mike Glennon, was he limited in what he was able to do yesterday? Did you guys just throw like a base package for him, or, you know, or is it something that you're going to see more of him, you know, opening up the offense more and more as the weeks go on?
Well, you know, first off, I appreciate, you know, I think our defensive staff and our defensive players are doing a great job improving the defense. And, you know, whenever you make a change at any position, it's hard, especially at quarterback, because you care about the people, and it's hard to do. But as a leader, you have to do what's best for the group. And, you know, we believe that's what we did. So hopefully that's going to be the result. And the guy that we put in there, Mike Glennon, you know, to say that we limited the package, no. I mean, we put together a game plan that had all the components that our normal game plan does. Now, selection on game day, what was called, maybe we did it a little – a little less of this or a little less of that, but it was more towards what he's most comfortable with than harnessing him in any way. You know, we have full faith that he's going to read the play out. He did a great job doing that. He read his progression. And, you know, that's when I sit here on the show and tell you, you know, sometimes it could be designed to go to this guy or go to that guy. People are saying, well, you know, Vincent has caught this many balls and Mike this and nobody else. Well, I think what you saw on Sunday is him reading it out and delivering the ball where the defense dictated, which is what you want your quarterback to do. So the tight end caught passes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, I said the tight end caught the ball. The running backs caught more balls, as well as our receivers. And, you know, it was good because Vincent, you know, was coming off an injury, and I thought he gutted it out in a big way. And it's a big week now. We can get him feeling better. Mike was coming off an injury, and, you know, he pushed through it as well, and we get him feeling better. So if ever there's a week to distribute the ball to multiple guys, this was it, and I was glad that Mike was able to do that.
Along those lines, you made mention of this a little bit earlier in the show, that in the end sequence there where you had the ball in your own end with the 10-3 lead, you were – again, you're juggling that Arizona has three timeouts left. You realize you've got to get a first down to try to kill the clock. You've got a two-minute warning there as well. But take me back to that sequence that you were talking about there where he ends up throwing the interception because, you know, again, that if fans are wondering if the playbook was limited, you were trying to throw the ball there in that instance in your own end.
Well, we have faith in Mike, and that's why we did it. But you're right. I mean, if you don't convert there on third down, now you're punting the ball. And you know, you're punting basically out of your own end zone. So they're getting it midfield, around midfield, maybe just behind midfield. So, you know, again, you're putting them in good position with plenty of time and the resources to drive. We felt like it was the call to make, to be aggressive and go after them. And, you know, you sit there in retrospect, should it have been a different – we wanted to throw the football. Should it have been a different pass? Who knows? In retrospect, yes, but when you call it, you don't know that. And the reality, like Mike said, you know, a couple more feet inside and Vincent's catching it. It's a first down and you know, who knows. But that's not what happened. So, you know, you judge what happened, not what could have happened. And it didn't work out, so we'll get better. We'll learn from it, and Mike will as well. And, you know, I think we'll make those plays in the future.
Back to the phones, and here is Jason in Lakeland. You are next up here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Hello?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, Coach? I just had a couple of comments on the offense. You know, the first half, we looked pretty good. We were moving the ball, and went in, looked decent. And then second half, come out, and the Cardinals adjust their defense, and they stop us. And, I mean, I think our defense looks really well, but, you know, you're not going to win many games scoring 10 and 13 points. And I can count on one hand how many screen passes I've seen to – Doug Martin, or how many bubble screens I've seen to the wide receivers and let these guys get out in space and make some plays. And I mean, if you're not doing something like that to give Glennon some confidence and let him get some good, you know, some easy completions. I mean, look at his completion percentage was under 50%, and he's supposed to be efficient. I mean, I can see he's going to be in the same boat as Freeman is. And I'm not giving you a break on because he's a rookie, because you made that move because it gives us the best chance to win. Yet it looks just like what Freeman did. And the only other thing I got to say is I really am just totally embarrassed with the Bucs on the rushing the victory formation. I think that's total Bush League, and that's the only thing I don't like about defense other than that. I mean, I hope you turn this thing around and we win 12 games. So,
all right.
I'll say thanks and go Bucs.
All right. Thanks for the caller.
Okay. Well, Jason, you covered a lot of ground, so – Let me kind of backtrack on it. You know, I agree with you. We were more effective offensively in the first half than we were in the second. But I don't necessarily agree with that we didn't get the ball. You know, I think we got the ball in Doug Martin's hands on the swing pass. We got the ball in Brian Leonard's hands a couple times out of the backfield.
Mike James.
Then we get the ball to Demps. So I think what we did is attack the flanks. There's several different ways to do it. Some of them are screens, some of them aren't. We had one screen set up that if we get one block, it's out the gate, but it didn't get out the gate. You know, we missed the block and the guy made the tackle on Doug. So I think that, you know, sometimes perception when you're watching a game and reality kind of can separate, but it's the frustration of, you know, why isn't this working that leads you to that? Because in the second half, there were some frustrating moments. I agree offensively. We dropped a few passes, which hurt. And one of the biggest things is we weren't very effective running the football, and we need to be. You know, we have the components to do that, and yet we didn't do it. So that's something that we're going to have to work very hard on to improve. And, you know, I thought Mike did a good job of distributing the ball. Like I said, 9 different receivers and getting the ball, distributed where the defense allows you to do it. You know, you can't force it. And even like we talked about on the interception, I didn't think we forced it. I thought we just didn't throw it right where we wanted to, and that's sometimes what can get you. But I don't know. I think when you look at this thing, 50% is not the be all and end all. But he was, you know, Mike was clearly over 50% in his completion percentage. So I'm not sure where you're coming from with that. But I get it, frustration. I can hear it in your voice, and I feel the same. But we got to deal in facts, and that's how you improve. When you deal with the facts and you work to get the things that you can control better, we'll get better. We got good players. It'll come.
He made mention there in the call as well about the victory formation and what was going on at the end of the game. I know Arizona's coach, Bruce Arians, was speaking out about that after the game. Just for our purposes here, you have explained it in the past about why you believe in that. If you would, just briefly, and whatever you want to say, explain again why you're doing what you're doing there.
Well, I think it's you know, again, I can say it's misunderstood. Maybe I'm misunderstood. Who knows? But there's a couple things that I can tell you. Number one, it's an organized play. It isn't just a mayhem of diving. I know to the fans it looks like you're just – there's a procedure that I won't go into the specifics because then we're giving up a competitive advantage. Has it worked here yet in the NFL? No. Has it worked before? Sure, it's worked or I wouldn't do it. We've caused several balls to be put on the ground in the past in doing this. And there's a series of techniques that are involved. But most importantly, I want everybody to know our players. I ask our players, if we don't want to do this, we don't do it. I mean, that's where I am. I'm not going to force guys, because is there a risk involved? Sure. I mean, there's always a risk involved when you're hitting other people. And I'm talking about a risk for our players.
Right.
So, but, you know, when your players believe that it can give you an opportunity, now why do they believe? Because they've seen the video of it. They've seen the ball on the ground in a situation that shouldn't happen. So I think that they understand if done correctly, there's a good opportunity. Now, when do you do it? You do it when it's a one-score game and you know that getting that ball back can give you a chance to win. When it gets to be more than that, the odds are too stacked against you. You know, some would say, well, then why don't you do it anyway because you can get it and then kick it onside. And, well, you know what? When the odds go up, it's risk-reward. You know, do you want to risk your own players in a physical situation when the odds of return aren't real high? But when it's a one-score opportunity, and especially a field goal opportunity, and there's time left to do it, that's something that we have – that's part of our beliefs. And guys can disagree with it, call it – there's no Bush League to it. And, you know it's coming. And if anybody saw, Gerald McCoy was shaking his head, telling him, we're coming. So, I mean, you know what? Run the play. If there's time on the clock, run the play. I'd like people to quit complaining and just that's what we're going to do and get ready for it.
Back to the phones. Here is Lee in Tarpon Springs on Buccaneers Total Access. Hello, Lee.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Lee, how are you doing?
I've got a couple of things that I'd like to say. First of all, you know, when I look at human beings, I look at my gut, and I look at what you did for Eric LeGrand. I look at what people like Ray Rice say about you, and he has not only a college perspective, but he also has an NFL perspective. So, you know, my gut coach tells me that you're a great person, okay? With that being said, I do have a couple of observations. The defense is definitely going to get better, and I think it will continue to get better as the year goes on. One area of disappointment is the offensive line. You know, I can remember when I lived in Houston, we brought in Munchak and Matthews. Those were both healthy guys, and we had a great offensive line. And it just seems to me that, you know, the linemen that were drafted are supposedly very good, but they're not very healthy. And I look at games 1, 2, and 4, and I think if we would have been able to run the ball behind this really pristine offensive line, we would have won those games. And then my last point, it's really not your area, but I don't think while I was, I agree with you on getting rid of Tlaib and Blount. I don't think we got enough of them. I know that's not your area, but I'm a business person, and I think we could have got more, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on that. With that, I'll sign off.
Well, there's a lot there, Lee, and first let me thank you for I agree with your gut. I guess I should, right? But that to me is nice to hear. You know, I'm well, very familiar with Munchak and Matthews, your time in Houston. You know, Mike Munchak was a Penn State lineman, and I coached at Penn State for 6 years. So Mike's not only a great lineman, but a great person. So I agree with you. You know, one of the things that we all have to remember, and we have to have a little bit of patience with the offensive line, you know, Davin Joseph and Carl Nix had major offseason surgeries, had some complications. Both of them didn't really get to practice much football leading into the season. So when you think about it, I think Davin played 25 preseason plays. I think that was it, maybe even less. And Carl, none. You know, so you're looking at Carl's, you know, grand total of experience is 2 games worth right now this year. And we're going to continue to get better and better on the offensive line. And we're going to run the ball better than we have. You know, I think some bright spots. I think Donald Penn is playing solid football. I think, you know, I look at Carl Nix, and he's getting better by the minute. I mean, he really is. You can see him returning with the explosiveness that I saw at the beginning when he first arrived here and that I saw on his Saints tape when we were evaluating him as a free agent. You know, I can see that coming back. Davin, you can see, is it's coming back. It's just not all there every down. Sometimes you can see that, oh, you know, a year ago that would have never happened. And then DeMar Dotson, I think, is really improving each and every outing. And then I think the guy in the middle, you know, Zuta, is really doing a great job of being the center, being the guy who makes all the calls, being the kind of glue that holds it together. Granted, Sunday was not our best performance up front, but there's two things that have to go into play. You got to tip your hat, you know, to Arizona. They came into this game as one of the leading run defenses. They're big and they're strong. And then we didn't exactly do our best, you know, and we'll be better moving forward. I know that the combination of those things, we'll get back to playing what we described when we first got here as Buck football and run the ball and play action pass and throw it down the field. It'll get better and better.
And quickly here, we're short on time in this segment. You now go into the bye week, and just explain just briefly here to the fans what that will be like with no opponent for this Sunday and how that will work.
Well, you know, one of the things that we take very seriously is looking at ourselves in the bye week. So the coaches are already doing that upstairs right now. We're examining ourselves. We have a little bit of a different opponent coming up, offensively at least. You know, when we're looking at them defensively, the gun run and everything that Philly's going to do. So we'll take advantage of a little extra time on that since it's different. But most of the time this week will be spent on ourselves inspecting. All right, what are we getting done? Where are we coming up short and why? The why is the most important. You know, anybody who can read statistics can tell you where we're coming up short. The coach's job is to say why, and if it's personnel, if it's scheme, and making a decision and then moving forward.
And we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And again, the Buccaneers will head into the bye week for 2013 at 0-4, and look ahead now to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles coming off of a third consecutive defeat this past Sunday at the hands of Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. And of course, Chip Kelly will bring Michael Vick and company in here to Raymond James Stadium. It'll be the second year in a row that the Eagles have come in. Different coaching staff this time around. And of course, Michael Vick did not play in the game last December due to a concussion. Nick Foles, the backup quarterback, was the starter at the end of the year for them. Foles remains the backup quarterback behind Michael Vick in this instance. And the Eagles, again, with a first-year coaching staff, come in here to Raymond James Stadium, and that will be a week from Sunday as we look forward to that one. And again, Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano will also take a break for the bye week. We'll be back on the Monday after that Eagles game. 2 weeks from tonight will be our next installment of Buccaneers Total Access there on October the 14th. in the aftermath of that game coming up at Raymond James Stadium. And again, for the Buccaneers, it'll be game number two for Mike Glennon, an opportunity here in this bye week for the Bucs to tweak some things, work on some things that didn't go so well in game number one, and come back fresh with a home game off the bye in this instance for the 2013 schedule after the tough defeat. Once again, the Buccaneers right there on the cusp of getting that first win but unable to finish it off. They will try to do so again. And that will be 13 days from now, 2 weeks from yesterday, with Bucs and Eagles. Sunday, 1 o'clock will be on the air at noon. And again, no Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano but on next Monday night. But we will be back on the Monday night after the Eagles game. And, of course, Total Access with the head coach brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. My thanks to Jeff Ryan here at One Buc Place. Also, Eric Sachs back at the Network Studios. I'm TJ Reeves. Thanks for being with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.